The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. We're back at 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. And of course, as I told you before, this issue with Sidney Powell has gotten a few hairs raised in various places in our country. Jonathan Emort is with us again. I like to call him Senator. He's ahead. He's beating Tim Kaine. Have you done any polling? Good morning, sir, by the way, and thanks for joining us again. I love the commitment that even if you become senator, you're still not going to ditch our show. We're always going to have a pipeline into Congress to see what D.C. Inc. is all about. Our callers have been saying that D.C. is incorporated and that this 14th Amendment, I already said, I don't think it was properly ratified. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about when we have a minute. But the first thing I want to get to is this issue with Sidney Powell pleading out. They've changed the criminal trespass count, so she eventually pled out to six counts. Have you had to analyze the plea deal, and what do you know about it?
Well, you know, a lot of people fear that because she entered into the plea deal that it will adversely affect Donald Trump. And the reality is that each defendant will separately decide how to proceed. And in her case, entering into that plea deal is really, as a matter of law, does not reflect upon the culpability of Donald Trump. So I think that the upshot of it is that the liberal media will go nuts as they are about it. But as a matter of law, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't, because there hasn't been a proven case, right? So there hasn't been the presentation of evidence and a determination by a jury. This was done in advance. People frequently agree to accept misdemeanor charges as a lesser charge and agree. The overall thing is, of course, what will she testify, right? That's what we don't know. But as far as the deal itself affecting Donald Trump, I don't think so, because, you know, Donald Trump is going to be separately tried on the basis of the merits of the case as it applies to him. And I think it's a really flimsy case. But I think that they I had wished that they would have removed the entire matter, and hopefully removal will be granted to federal court, because I don't believe that a fair trial is likely possible in the state court.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear, one, that you are at least positive about the outcome for Donald Trump. I think that the state charges in the RICO situation was a big reach anyway, overreach, as a matter of fact. But the thing is, folks, if you don't understand about Jonathan Emort, he specializes in food and drug law. He's the only attorney in history of the United States that has defeated the FDA in court. And he's running for Senate against Tim Kaine in Virginia. And if you are not supporting him, you should be. I'm going to let you shamelessly plug your website at this juncture. Go ahead.
Okay, emort4va.com. And if you can donate, please do. We're going up against really Soros money. Every election since he was mayor of Richmond many, many moons ago, Tim Kaine has received large donations from his buddies, the Soros family. So he's pursuing an agenda that they are pleased with, and that's the agenda that we're in opposition to. So it'll be a good idea to help us if you can.
Well, we appreciate that. And like I said, look, if you want things to change, folks, this is how it's done. Is you put people in there that believe in the United States Constitution, that understand it. Now, the thing is that, I mean, as a constitutional lawyer, Jonathan, you have researched this stuff. What can you tell us about the 14th Amendment? Government seems to be hanging its hat on it. And I'm just like, that's the C, small citizen, American citizen with a small C. And everybody goes, oh, those capital letters that they put your name in capital letters. Is that an artificial name? Or, I mean, come on, you've studied this stuff. What do you know? Can you educate my listeners about it?
Well, so as part of the Civil War effort to prevent the Confederacy from having influence over the national government after the Civil War, the 14th Amendment includes a provision that those who would take up arms against the government would be capable of being excluded from the government. And the idea that you would apply that in modernity to a candidate on the basis that somehow that candidate interfered with an election or something similar is absurd, because he would have had to have taken up arms against the United States. The idea that January 6th is a sufficient trigger is absurd, because we know that Donald Trump did not take up arms. Neither did the people who went into the Capitol. They didn't form an armed rebellion. And if anything, it's a criminal trespass. So there, and the idea that you can tie Donald Trump to the actions that were taken by individuals on January 6th is absurd, too. There's no basis. There's no basis in the law. There's no basis to charge Donald Trump. No one has attempted to do so for a conspiracy to cause violence, cause an act of rebellion. So there's no foundation for the application of that against the president. And all these efforts to try to do so are such an extreme reach. If we were to say just simple opposition to an election result enables you to be disqualified, it would be a gross offense against the plain and intended meaning of that provision.
But now the legal theory behind the fact that, you know, a lot of people have been researching this thing and deep diving, and many of them just understand the law, not like attorneys do, especially ones that, you know, major in the kind of stuff that you did, graduating from University of Illinois and DePaul University College of Law. The circumstances are such that attorneys, they get the law, civil procedure, rules of evidence, and all the stuff that we the people don't get because we're not versed in it like attorneys are. And I've spent a lot of time researching much of the stuff too because of my involvement as simply as a paralegal who knows his place in the big scheme of things. So, you know, the thing is the theory is the states, not all the states properly ratified the 14th Amendment. Is there anything to that theory? I know if you're running for Senate and you start espousing that the 14th Amendment of the Constitution is no good, people are going to look at you and go, oh, we're not supporting that guy. I mean, he's a rabble rouser. He's trying to play this patriot game. And I understand it. It's a legal theory. And I'm just wondering, what you can shed any light on why that theory exists?
Well, I think that the 14th Amendment has been properly ratified. I don't think that there's any reasonable foundation for arguing to the contrary. Even were there a reasonable foundation to argue in retrospect that somehow the 14th Amendment was not properly ratified, it has been incorporated into the law and has become a part of our law, such that if you were to attempt to undo it, it would be an utter disaster. It indeed is the foundation for our defense against government intrusions across the board, against life, liberty, and property. And the bigger point is that it was accepted by the Congress of the United States, by the American people, as ratified. And so I think that trying to unseat history now, so many years hence, and try to undo it would have disastrous consequences.
No doubt. And I was explaining during the show about everybody, including DC Inc., every county, every state, they're all incorporated. Some of the feeling is why all these incorporations, you know, they have trusts out there too. There's a lot of trusts out there that have been set up. Many of them took over and some of them went bust in 2008. They were common law entities set up as special investment vehicles. And we saw what happened as a result of that. Now, before we went on the show, folks, I had a chance to talk to Jonathan Emort about what is going on here. And the big comment was the economy. And Bloomberg has been reporting it. I haven't verified all the details, but from the looks of things, by the time that 2024 election rolls around, this country is going to be in the economic tank. Your comments?
Well, that's what it looks like. You know, you can't spend the amount of money that they're spending pumping into the economy, dollars, federal dollars, and not suffer significant consequences. You can't break the backbone of the fossil fuel economy and expect that there will be no consequences. You can't fundamentally change us from automobiles that are fossil fuel based to electric cars that are substantially more expensive, are more lethal on the road, but also invest us terribly into China for those batteries, as well as the windmills, which are Chinese made, as well as the solar panels, which are Chinese made. So a massive movement, hundreds of billions of dollars from the United States because of these policies going to our arch enemy, the CCP. And this is all, of course, ruinous to the economy. You've got inflation at a high level at the same time that you have unemployment now kicking up, at the same time that you have high interest rates preventing people from borrowing and from buying homes and so forth. And you have at the same time industry fearful because they can't make predictions because Biden's economy is insane, an insane set of intrusions, both regulatory and constrictive of market operations. So they're hoarding cash. And all of this is leading to what economists generally are predicting, a very bad 2024. People have to realize that when you shackle the free enterprise economy, when you create policies that destroy the fossil fuel backbone of the American economy, when you do not defend Americans' interests overseas, and when you have an open border situation where you have an underground economy being created with people who are coming here illegally and being allowed to operate and function all across the country, they are creating an underground economy by and large. They are undercutting minimum wage jobs. There is an off the record, off the books economy generated by that. And what does it do? It takes people and causes unemployment. It reduces their costs at a time when they have to reduce costs, but they're doing it illegally. And this is harming us all over the country. That's one factor leading to the unemployment. But there are many, many factors, not least of which is businesses realize investing in American business is bad business when the government's crushing the free enterprise system in this country.
All in the name of climate change, too, because they want to come after our gas stoves, our air conditioners, and every single ridiculous thing when they know, in fact, there is no climate change per se, that this whole climate chaos and climate crisis, I mean, California now has climate cafes where people who are so stressed out because of climate change can go and vent to each other. And I'm just like, libtards, okay.
Wonder what the temperature is in those climate cafes.
Yeah.
Wonder if it would go up. If I walked in, would it go up?
Oh, I'm sure it'd go through the roof. Yeah, this is amazing, folks. Eric in Illinois, you're on the phone with Jonathan Emard. Go ahead.
I was wondering, do you think that there was an anonymous caller a month or so ago about the income tax? Do you think the person, say, that just has a roofing business and makes money like that is supposed to pay income tax on that? Because he made the assertion that the income tax was geared to those that work for the U.S. government or are in business with the U.S. government. It's an excise tax. What is your viewpoint on the income tax? And when did it start?
Well, the income tax has been with us since World War II in its modern formation. The income tax, I'm opposed to a graduated income tax. I believe that ideally we would not have an income tax. But I think if we have an income tax, and we'll have to, given the size of the government, at least in an interim period of some time before we can downsize the government enough. But I believe in a flat tax at 10% that applies at once you hit $100,000 in income a year or more and upwards, but not below. And I think it has to be a true flat tax. And some have said, oh, this is regressive. But the regressive nature of it is ameliorated when you are eliminated when you start at $100,000 and above in income. On the corporate level, I would substantially reduce the corporate tax because we need to have manufacturing and we need to incentivize companies to come back to the United States. Particularly, the pharmaceutical companies need to be induced to leave China and come back and have pharmaceutical manufacturing here. It's a national security imperative. The administration's doing virtually nothing about it. But when you look at what China's wanting to do to the United States, the idea that they could both create a pandemic and then cut off all access to all of the drugs that they are making for the United States have catastrophic consequences that could ruin us. So we have to, as a national security imperative, do that. Likewise, with oil and gas, we need to incentivize through tax incentives the jobbers who have left the industry because of Biden's statements early in the first days of the administration that within 10 years he would eliminate the fossil fuel industry in the United States, then proceeded to shut down all of the pipelines and so on. That is ruinous, and we have to get the jobbers back so we can get fossil fuels produced and have energy independence again. But so tax policy is critical. I think that the flat tax is the way to go for the American people. I think it's the only fair way to deal with this issue and to ensure that we can predict what our taxes will be fairly, simply, without complications. And then ultimately, if we reduce the size and scope of the federal government, we may be able to alleviate that problem entirely by not having an individual income tax at all. But that's a future goal, unfortunately, given the vast size and scope of the government, which has to be reduced for us to survive, indeed for us to get out of the economic hardships that are coming in 2024 and are with us, we see right now.
Okay, Eric, I'm going to, because I can hear the noise in the background, I'm going to cut your call, but I am going to follow up with the question, the one question that you had. He wanted to know when it all started. And a lot of these people are looking at the 16th Amendment to the Constitution and thinking that this has given the government carte blanche to come in. Yet in Gregory versus Halvering, as you know, Justice Learned Hand came out and said, there is nothing wrong with tax avoidance for a man. We don't have a duty to pay the government a dime, which is one of the reasons I've been advocating starting your own business, for crying out loud, because this is what America needs. The mom and pops need to come back. Because the corporations, obviously, I mean, you hear about, even in Finland, Nokia is cutting between 6,000 and 14,000 jobs next year. So, I mean, it's affecting everybody in the world. But when you have a Congress that's saying, okay, we're going to spend billions of dollars employing 87,000 armed IRS agents, and they've got half the country scared. I mean, this stuff is just getting nonsensical.
We should be scared, because when you hire 87,000, that's doubling the size of the IRS. When you have 87,000 people dedicated to enforcement, which is what we're talking about here, that substantially increases audits. And what the target levels of what they expect to recoup from this establish for us that they could not do so unless they audited people in the middle class, small businesses. So that's their plan. 87,000 IRS agents unleashed on the American people so that they can squeeze out of us every single cent that's possible to support this monstrosity of a federal government that violates our rights. I mean, look what we're paying for. Look what we get out of this deal. We get a government that destroys the ability of us to have $2 a gallon gas. So a government, we're paying in taxes. Not only are we paying at the pump, we're paying in taxes to have the government do that very thing, destroy the fossil fuel industry so we pay even more for gas at the pump. We are paying the government to leave the borders open, right? We're paying them to reassign the border patrol from protection of the border and enforcement of the immigration laws to processing humans into the country. We are paying them to give every illegal immigrant seeking asylum in this country the following things: cash. That's right, cash. In addition, they're processed within 72 hours. They give them cash. They sign them up for welfare. They sign them up for food stamps. They enable them to get a free education. They give them free legal help. And then they also pay, we are paying, for the NGOs that are at the airports, train stations, bus terminals. They bus them from the processing centers to there. And then those NGOs pay for their plane fare to go wherever they want in the United States. Now, we're paying for that. This is part of the deal you get. Tell me whether or not you think, and this is just a small part of it, tell me whether or not you think you're getting a good deal by paying your taxes. You're paying taxes to destroy yourself, right? You're paying, when you open up your borders and you allow anyone in, terrorists, MS-13, 18th Street gangs, drug traffickers, sex traffickers, okay, that's what we're paying for. We're paying for a system that allows the criminals of the world and those who want welfare wherever they are in the world to come to our country to get it and to kill and to maim and to injure on the criminal side.
That's the thing. You just hit the nail on the head there, Jonathan. I'm going to tell you about the State Department just put out this warning, worldwide warning. Americans should be on the alert. And they're talking about people overseas because you could be subject to terrorism and, you know, advances by the enemy against Americans. And once they find out you're an American, then you're at risk. And not one thing was said, even in a worldwide alert, not one thing was said about we the people and what all this nefarious behavior, the gotaways and everything else coming across our borders and what nefarious intent they have planned for us, especially if we get involved in what looks like could potentially turn into World War III. What's your comment on that?
A couple of days ago, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, essentially said, we expect that there may be acts of terror on American soil, and be on the lookout for that. Watch out. So that's the FBI director's statement. Where does this risk come from? You know where it comes from?
The
Biden administration's open border policy for the beginning of its administration has allowed Hamas to come into the United States without restriction. Now the FBI doesn't know where they are, but they know they're there, and they say they've heard the chatter, so they know there's something up. And guess what? That blood, if it comes, is on Biden's hands. He left the border open and still leaves it open to terrorists, to Hamas, to Islamic Jihad, to Hezbollah. All of them have been planning for over a year, probably 2 years, for this Israeli attack. Do you think that they only talked about giving the horrible terrorist activity to Israel, the small Satan? Or to the United States also, the big Satan. That's what they refer to us as.
Yeah.
Of course they have sent agents into this country. Anyone but a fool would think the opposite. And here you have Christopher Wray, who should be impeached, Christopher Wray telling us that, there may be the acts of terror domestically, and be on the lookout for that. Appreciate it. Thanks. Give us a call.
But then Biden gets on TV last night. I don't know if you saw the speech or not, fought with the teleprompter and basically said, we're giving $100 million or whatever to Palestine. And I'm like, whoa, excuse me. How do you know Hamas isn't going to end up with that money? And then you sit there and say, we shouldn't have Islamophobia in the United States.
Right. This
what
was
else
their
do you
same,
call
this
it?
This was their same argument with giving $6 billion, unfreezing $6 billion in assets for Iran. They said, we've earmarked it for humanitarian purposes. Oh, yeah? These people who are terrorists, you know what? We can trust them. They're honest. They tell us they're going to use it for humanitarian purposes. Oh, I'm Joe Biden. Okay. All right. I agree with that. Are you kidding me? Look, you give people, I don't care how they give it to them. I don't care how they get that money over there. You know what? Even if you gave them food, just food, this is what would happen to that. They would either sell it on a secondary market and get the resources from that to continuously finance acts of terror and weapon systems, or they would use it and then free up money that they would have otherwise spent on food and other resources so they can spend it on the military. No matter how you do it, they are going to continue their mission to destroy Israel and destroy the United States. And if we are paying them anything, we are fools. And you've got this fool. I mean, we have someone in the White House who is essentially has the same bioelectric activity in his head as a potted plant. There's virtually no ability to distinguish between the man, Joe Biden, and a, you know, your favorite house plant.
Yeah, Venus flytrap.
The difference is that your house plant may be cute. It may actually be pleasant. And that's not true of Joe Biden. But what Joe Biden is doing by giving money to the enemies of the United States and Israel is, you know, so outrageous. But he's an appeaser. That's what he does. He's the master of appeasement. His administration is an appeasing entity. They try to appease our enemies, and they try to apologize for the United States, and they try to destroy our own country while they give away all the store to everybody in the world, even our enemies.
Well, so now the thing is, with a couple of minutes that we have left here on this segment, Jonathan Emord, the circumstances involving the escalation of what's going on there, the fact that he's tying Ukraine and talking about Biden here, Ukraine and Israel together, we're going to be fighting two wars. This thing with now they're attacking U.S. bases in Syria and Iraq. That's the latest headlines out there, whether they're to be believed or not, because we have a lot of, you know, basically it looks like this is shaping up to be World War III. Biden is getting us into the middle of it. We have most of Congress. I would say, I said earlier, 75% to 80% of Congress is all in favor of going to World War III. I mean, you shall know the mother fruits. I can't think anything else. What do you think?
I think Biden caused the Ukraine incident by his ignominious retreat from Afghanistan, abandoning Americans, pulling the troops out, and basically turning over roughly $16 billion worth of the most advanced military hardware to the Taliban. That was perceived by Putin as a clear sign of weakness. And so every action taken by this president is weakness. And that led to the Ukraine invasion. Same thing in the case of Israel. Our efforts bending over backwards to give from this administration, to give anything that the Iranians wanted to them and to curry favor with them, even though they are engaged in efforts to destroy us and to avoid any strong position by the United States against Iran and in defense of our interests and in defense of Israel, led them to believe that this is the opportune moment to invade Israel and to engage in a full-scale war against Israel. Now Biden is complicating it, making it worse, because there's actually presently a very real risk that this president will put American troops into a war scenario, both in the Ukraine and in Israel. And this is, or perhaps even against Iran.
Yeah, this is scary.
This is dangerous stuff, because we have no clear strategy. We have no clear foreign policy, have not since the start of this administration. And the rest of the world does not know what our position is. And what he does is he just bit by bit, de jure, doing something that leads us closer and closer to an actual engagement of American forces in different parts of the world.
Okay. Not Jonathan good. Emord. Yeah, it isn't. Emord for VA.com. We appreciate you, and thanks for your input on all these little details that people need to become aware of. We'll be back after these important messages. Dr. William Mackus, we're going to try to reach out to him after the break. Stay with us.
Antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. said to be good for everything but death itself. Come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour is an independent radio show. We are funded by people who appreciate our work, not by ads or algorithms. Your support is key to the continuation of this broadcast. To show your support so that we can continue to bring you unbiased information that is now more vital than ever, please visit thepowerhour.com and click Support Us. You can also place a donation by phone by calling 877-817-9829. We thank you for any amount of support that you're able to give.
And you are, my friend. This is Feel Good Friday. Here on the Power Hour. Yes, knowledge is power. That's right. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's the reason we're here, folks. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, where we are here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, the thing is, the persecution, despite the fact that more and more people are waking up to the truth about the jab, about this garbage that we have had to endure the last 3 years, about the brainwashing, the lockdowns, the programming, everything that has happened to turn Americans against each other, as in, you can't go over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go because you didn't take the shot. This thing has caused all sorts of harm to the American family unit. Physicians are still being persecuted. The hospital protocols still continue till the end of this year and possibly beyond, depending on where you are. We have a physician from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada on the line with us here. He has an immunology degree at University of Toronto. He was a top scholarship recipient, graduated from McGill University School of Medicine in 2005, specialty training in Nuke Med. This is an area I'm familiar with, having gone through the radiography program myself. understanding what nuclear medicine radiology is about and oncology. You use nuke medicine to treat cancer. Well, here's the thing. This COVID-19 vaccine has not only caused crises in America with pregnant women, but now, and we told you this before, it is now causing turbo cancers to prop up in all over the world. People that have gotten the jab all of a sudden now have some form of cancer. Dr. William Mackus joins us. He is the chief of nuclear medicine and oncology for the Wellness Company of Canada. Now, I tell you, if you go to the website for the Wellness Company and you scroll down and you look to see who is on the board of the Wellness Company in America, he is joined by the ranks of the likes of Dr. Peter McCullough, who I know you know that name. All the people that are here that listen to the show know who Dr. Peter McCullough is. Paul Alexander, who we have had on the show before, that literally you can't shut this guy up when it comes to talking about what they've done to harm Canadians and Americans. Alexander was even at the truckers convoy in the capital of Ottawa. So I got to tell you, Dr. William Mackus, I am sorry that they continue to persecute you. But the thing is, you're still fighting back, and God bless you for that. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, what can you tell us about what's happening here with these turbo cancers? Obviously, you've been keeping an eye on what's going on with it. Where are we at in this scenario?
You know, I've been keeping track of the COVID vaccine injuries and deaths now since late 2021. I've reported over 2,000 sudden deaths on my Twitter account and Substack account. And unfortunately, the trend just continues to go up. It doesn't seem that the COVID vaccines and deaths have slowed down at all. If anything, they seem to be accelerating. Even though people, by and large, are not taking the booster shots anymore, the sudden deaths seem to be just increasing day by day. And, you know, initially it was cardiac events, the sudden cardiac arrest, it was blood clots. And now there's a shift more towards the cancers and very aggressive cancers. They're being called turbo cancers because they're particularly aggressive. They're showing up in young people. And so this is the kind of the tragic trend that has been happening over the last few months.
And it's all because they took the jab that you're seeing all these results. These are vaccine-induced. You've attributed them directly to the vaccines. Young people are dropping dead of heart attacks on the field, but that's the least of our worries right now, because when people start getting turbo cancers, I mean, these things are coming at them like all of a sudden they didn't have anything, and now we're dealing with, what, stage four issues?
Well, that is the problem, is that these cancers are not showing up at an early stage. You know, normally, if you do see cancer in a young person, it tends to be stage one or stage two. You can get them early. You can treat them. These cancers are behaving very differently. They are showing up at stage three and usually stage four. And so you have a situation where you've got a person in their 20s, a person in their 30s, and they're showing up with stage four, you know, breast cancer, stage four colon cancer, stage four lung cancer. We're seeing brain cancers that are the worst brain cancers you can have. Grade four, the highest grade brain cancers, glioblastomas. We're seeing lymphomas and leukemias that can kill in a matter of weeks, days, sometimes even hours. So it's a completely different phenomenon than what I've seen in the past as an oncologist. You know, I've diagnosed tens of thousands of cancers. I've treated hundreds myself. And the pattern is entirely different. And this is really what I want to stress, is when someone's had at least one of the COVID vaccines and they present with cancer, the cancer behaves completely differently than anything we've seen before the COVID vaccines.
This would be something that would be indicative of a bioweapon that we have talked about on this show before. This is exactly what that vaccine is. First, we have a virus. The virus is there. They instill fear in us. Then all of a sudden, oh, look, we have Operation Warp Speed and all these COVID-19. This is going to cure all. You'll never get COVID if you take the shot again. So we were all lied to about this, and now we're paying the price. That's basically what it is, right?
Absolutely. And you know, the other interesting feature is that, you know, it's really, you cannot really attribute it to the virus because you don't see, we didn't see these kinds of cancers in 2020. Which was what you might expect if, you know, if it was just something related to the virus alone. This really shows up as soon as the COVID vaccines were rolled out. That's when you start seeing these aggressive cancers within a few months after the first shots were rolled out at the start of 2021. That's when I started seeing it. I actually discovered these cancers among Canadian doctors, and Canadian doctors, you know, they were the first ones to line up for these shots, and they had young Canadian doctors as some of the first people lining up to get their vaccines. They were the first ones to get their booster shots. They forced mandates on Canadian doctors, or they would be fired. And you know, these were young, healthy people that really shouldn't have been getting the vaccine. They were at no risk of COVID-19. Most of them would have had caught COVID-19 at some point, would have had natural immunity. They were forced to get the shots, and now a lot of them are coming down with these very aggressive cancers, and that's actually where I first noted this phenomenon.
So the thing is with the turbo cancers is that it's not the spike proteins per se that are causing them. It's the modified mRNA that's in the jab itself, not the spike protein. So we can, it would be fair to say that anyone who did not take the jab, it has a very high likely probability of not getting these turbo cancers.
Yes. So this is a, you know, this is not a risk for the unvaccinated. This is specifically a risk for the vaccinated. And we don't know exactly what is causing it. Now, probably the issue is that the vaccine, when you take it, you know, it doesn't stay in the arm, and it actually ends up in your systemic circulation. It ends up in your bloodstream, and the lipid nanoparticles with the mRNA, with the modified mRNA, as you mentioned, they are delivered all over the body. They are delivered to the bone marrow. So, you know, they are getting into the bone marrow, they're transfecting stem cells, they're getting into tissues like, you know, the testes, the ovaries. So we're, of course, seeing reproductive issues, but I am seeing testicular cancers and ovarian cancers as well. You know, they're cleared by the hepatobiliary system, and I see cancers of the liver, of the gallbladder, of the pancreas, of the colon. So, you know, the issue really, at least part of it, seems to be the systemic delivery of this. And that is a feature of the lipid nanoparticle and the mRNA. And so I've warned about this, that, you know, they might try to just blame the spike protein in the future and say, well, it was an issue of the spike protein, and you know, we're using a different protein for the influenza vaccine, we're using a different protein for the RSV vaccine, and those are going to be safe and those are going to be fine. And I think we're going to see the same kind of problems. It's the entire platform, the lipid nanoparticle, the mRNA technology. It's a faulty technology. It goes systemic. It delivers an artificial mRNA throughout the entire body where you're not supposed to have it. You get toxic foreign protein expression in tissues where you're not supposed to have it. So I think it's going to be a problem, not just with COVID vaccines, but all future mRNA vaccines.
And the thing is, now we have intranasal genetic injections. This is all new now. They're going to make it so easy and convenient where you can just, you know, get any kind of a what you would normally get a shot. We're just going to actually stick this thing up your nose. We're going to bypass the blood-brain barrier and go right in through your the back end of your nasopharynx into the brain. And so I'm not feeling real good about that methodology either. I think they're doing this just as a matter of convenience to get more people injected with this garbage. So we kill more people. We're reducing our population as a result. Does that sound logical?
Well, this is one of the areas that they're exploring these intranasal vaccines, and you're absolutely right. I mean, this is again, I would not trust any vaccine at this point. We know that the that the safety testing is an absolute fraud. Right now, with the COVID vaccines, they're pushing these vaccines on babies as young as 6 months old. They're pushing them on pregnant women. I see kids now that are coming down with heart attacks, with strokes, with the turbo cancers. I see pregnant women who are dying during pregnancy or who are having miscarriages, stillbirths. You know, they're bleeding during delivery. They're having blood clots. They're dying after delivery. So the whole safety process has been an absolute fraud. So whether they come out, with intranasal vaccines, that's one of the areas they're looking at. Another area they're looking at is what they call multiple spike proteins in one vaccine. And so they'll tell you that it's like a pan-coronavirus vaccine or it's a pan-influenza virus vaccine where it's going to cover all the variants. This is another thing that's being looked at by the U.S. military and being investigated. So we're at a point where, for me, all trust has been lost in medicine, in the regulatory bodies, and we are seeing harm that's being done to millions of people, and the harm is being covered up. The vaccine injuries are being covered up. The deaths, the excess deaths are being covered up. Doctors like myself are forbidden from talking about it unless we are ready to give up everything, give up our entire career, our licenses, our jobs, because well, that's the cost of Dr. speaking Mackus, out.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Where are you now with your license? I understand from other shows that I've watched that they've taken away your medical license. Is that true?
Yes, my license is actually being held hostage right now. I'm being threatened by lawyers. I've had money offers put in front of me. I've had non-disclosure agreements put in front of me. Any of the doctors who have spoken out, and this includes Dr. Peter McCullough in the United States, Dr. Ryan Cole, all of these doctors who are speaking out about the dangers of the vaccine, they are being targeted. They're being targeted, and mostly through our licenses, because that's how, they try to get leverage on us. They will attack our license. They will take our license and say, okay, we won't allow you to practice here or there unless you shut up or you sign, non-disclosure agreements. So I have this situation right now. I'm part of the wellness company with Dr. Peter McCullough. And so I've continued publishing. I've got three papers now on COVID vaccine injuries that are under review. So, we are trying to fight through this, but it's very difficult. Unfortunately, the vast majority of doctors, they're staying silent to keep their licenses, keep their jobs. But part of that silence is they can't tell their patients about the risks of the vaccines. And in fact, they have to continue pushing the vaccines on their patients. And that's simply something I couldn't do.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, you're talking about a violation of your Hippocratic Oath, basically, and I get that. being of the age that I'm at, and I've seen all this stuff, and I didn't take the jab. There's no way I would take the jab. My wife and I haven't, and we proudly admit it. We wear that like a badge of honor, which everybody that hasn't been vaccinated should, because now we're seeing the repercussion. But the backside of the equation here, Dr. Mackus, that I want to get to. Have you studied or been privy to the studies that anyone has done on autopsies, postmortem of these injured and murdered victims that have been that have taken the jab? Obviously, have you seen the clots? Have you seen the reports about the cause and effect of the jab? Have you actually been privy to that information? And what do you know?
Yes. So with Dr. Peter McCullough, we actually did the largest review of published autopsies in the world. We reviewed information, autopsies that have been published on vaccinated patients who died suddenly within a few weeks of taking the vaccine. We've looked at these autopsies, and there was about 300, over 300 of them. We put a paper together, and we tried to get it published. We headed up on Lancet, which is course, one of the top papers in the world and journals in the world. And they took it down within 24 hours when they realized that the implication of it. We found that about 74% of the sudden deaths in vaccinated individuals, you know, within the first 2 weeks of vaccination were directly attributable to the vaccine. The vast majority of the deaths were caused by cardiac issues, cardiac injury. So it is clear from the autopsy data, even though autopsies are being suppressed, the data that is out there, it is very clear that there is injury to the heart in the majority of the cases. Then there is a subset of cases, of course, with blood clots and other hematologic issues. There's also some that are caused by respiratory issues. So, you know, we have the data. We are trying to publish it. There's tremendous resistance, however, you know, to get any kind of study like this published. And, you know, I've spoken to one of the top pathologists here in Canada, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. Dr. Hodgkinson was with Dr. Paul Alexander in Ottawa during the Canadian trucker protest. He has spoken to some of the top medical examiners in the country who've told them that basically they cannot stain for the spike protein, or they won't. They simply won't do it to identify the nature of some of these sudden deaths as being related to the COVID-19 vaccine. You could do that very easily. You could do staining of the pathology tissues for the spike protein, for the nucleocapsid protein of the virus, and make sure that, no, it wasn't caused by the virus, the other viral proteins are not there. If only the spike protein is there, you know that it's the vaccine that caused the death. And they won't do those autopsies. They won't do them. They won't do them in Canada. They won't do them in the United States. Right now, the medical establishment is doing everything possible to protect the vaccine and to make sure that the vaccine is not implicated in these sudden deaths of young people that we're seeing.
Wow, the great cover-up. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Dr. William Mackus. Go ahead.
Well, the doctor mentioned it after I got on the line, but it doesn't hurt to reiterate it, how they're, the ways they used to approve vaccines, how they're just being completely an end run around them, and also the way the people that are get to make the decision to approve the vaccine, how they are tied to the pharmaceutical industry, how they're invested in it. So it doesn't hurt to. There's a coroner in Texas County, Missouri, that I've heard her say that she got a clot sample from a funeral director, and she said it almost has like plastic qualities in it. So I just, and as far as the licenses, I know this isn't applicable in Canada, but Dave, sometime we need to talk about, I thought the Constitution gave us the right to contract in this country. You know,
yeah, so it does.
We'll have
Article
110.1.
Yeah, we will. I appreciate it, Sherry. Thanks
all
for
right,
your call.
Thank you.
This is just a big crazy situation here, Dr. Mackus, and I know, based on other interviews that I've seen you do, that you are, and as many of your colleagues are, under fire to keep quiet about this thing, and they're going to do everything they can to censor you. You do have a Substack page and a page where people can go to research your articles?
Yes. So people can follow me on Twitter, at MackusMD. People can also follow me on Substack, MackusMD.substack.com. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, in terms of the autopsies, again, they could be doing those tests, the staining for the spike protein. They could be looking at things like the blood clots, the abnormal blood clots, you know, finding out what the composition is of those blood clots. Why are they so hard and rubbery, you know, and strange, you know, these white, long, rubbery blood clots? None of that work is being done. It's not an issue of cost. You know, this would not be expensive to do any of these tests. I can tell you here in Alberta, Canada, right now, the number one cause of death in Alberta is cause unknown. We have about 4,000 Albertans who've died of unknown causes, and our chief medical examiners will not investigate. They will not do the autopsies of all of these young people who've died suddenly. And, you know, it is absolutely a massive cover-up.
Big time. And they don't want to be held accountable. And obviously, the less they do, the less accountable they will be. That's part of the great cover-up. Dr. Mackus, I really appreciate your taking time to be on the show. And, you know, God bless you for the work you're doing and your crew at the Wellness Company in Canada is doing. I realize this is a big uphill battle to try to stop all this. But fortunately, you know, there are people in America and people in Canada that are waking up, that are very aware of what you're doing. And we appreciate your coming on the show to explain all of this to those who need more ammunition to convince others that you need to really start beefing up on your health if you want to avoid all of this stuff. I can't say enough about it. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for today. You have a blessed weekend. I don't know what else to say. We're in some real serious turmoil right now. Just pray for America. Pray that our politicians, despite what you think, are going to do the right thing and that God is going to have his guiding hand over this country. For all of those who have listened to the Power Hour that support us at the Power Mall, please shop today, 877-817-9829. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you Monday. Yahweh, righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarisp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.